I want to share with you a story. This happened probably about 4 years ago. And I was going to the radio station to do my show that I do on Sunday nights. And I pulled into the McDonald's just to get a Coke. McDonald's Coke is the best, by the way. I don't know why it is. There's just something about it. So I pull in into the parking lot, get out of my car, and go in, and there's a family that's sitting on the sidewalk. And when I say family, I'm talking about a family of a mother that looked like she was probably in her 30s, then an 18-year-old girl or so, 17, somewhere in there, with a young man who was probably about the same age, and a little baby in a car seat. And they were of mixed colors. I say that because going into the McDonald's, and I'm from Upper Sandusky, most people look like me. They do. And so I took notice, and I saw there was a car there with the hood open. And so I go in, get my Coke, and I come back out, and it just seemed like they'd been there a while. They were hot, and you could see the sweat. So I went over, and I was like, are you guys okay? Well, you know, is this your car? You know, I didn't know. And the older lady, who I found out was the mother to this girl, she was probably, now that I think about 16 with this new baby. So this was the grandma to the, young family. And they had just bought this car somewhere in Michigan. Boo, hiss, no. somewhere in Michigan. And on the way down, somehow the connection for the radio was connected to the battery. I don't understand all this. But the battery had exploded inside of the car. So acid was everywhere. And it wouldn't start. And so I'm just kind of standing there going, hey, well, how long have you been here? And the older lady said, we've been here for about 2 hours and nobody's stopped and asked us if we need help. And they had nothing. Well, I've got to get to my radio show. It's live. And I was like, well, God, I know you'd help these people. So I start asking around. I call people I know that are mechanics. And then another man stops by. He has darker skin than mine as well. And he goes, hey, what's going on here? I tell him the story. He goes, well, I'm coming from Tennessee. I'm going back to Tennessee to see my family. I'm a trucker, and I'm on my, I think he said, 8 or 10 hour break. I don't know how that all works, but he had to sleep. I'm like, oh, okay. And he goes, I know how to fix cars. He goes, let me look and figure out what the problem is. You go do your show, or you go do what you need to. Come back, and hopefully we can figure this out. Now, he's from Ohio, did I say? Oh, no. He's not even from around here. I go to the radio station, and I have my phone. He calls me and says, I got to get something from Walmart. Can you come and get me? Sure. So I go get him. We go to Walmart quick. We got to get a battery. We got to do all this stuff. Come back, and then I go do my show, and I come back 2 hours later. And they're gone. So they're on their way. And then we have him. His name was Ian. I talked with him, and he's in his truck, and I stop by, and we bring him over to our house, and we break bread together and eat. It's about 9:30 at night, just hanging out. He was probably there an hour or two. I don't really remember. But I share that story with you because really the point I want to bring out is the family was there for 2 hours. And nobody said boo. honestly, at that point, I was just like, shame on us. I say that because we got to reach out. It's about what God wants to do in and through us. That's what matters. We have to be willing to take responsibility. Let's pray, and I'll get into the message here. Lord, I thank you so much for how good you are, that you love us. I thank you for each person here and the gift of life that you have given to them. And I pray that they would realize what a gift, what a special gift they have of breathing right now, and their body is working right now. That is from you. You are Creator God, and we are your creation. We thank you for how good you are. In Jesus' name, amen. The God who created us and put us on this planet loves us so much that he desires us to love him freely. However, in order for this to happen, he must be willing to allow us to go against him in his ways. For instance, he's given us rules and guidelines to live. And we can find 10 of them in Exodus 20. It's called the Ten Commandments. So, one of these, by the way, tells us to serve or to follow no other gods but him. So if we worship only this God, only the King of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who created the whole universe out of nothing, then he will be pleased. And we would not be sinning by doing that. But will God allow us to choose to worship another God or ourselves in place of this one true God? Well, the answer is yes. He will. He will allow this to happen. Whoever picked the songs, whether it was you, Mike, or just your team, you know, wasn't there a point where you make all things work together for my good? And he obviously sang it a lot better than I did. But think about that. He loves us so much that he will allow us to turn our backs on him. Does he want this to happen? Does he want this to happen? Of course not. But is he willing to allow it to happen? Well, I believe the answer is yes. Will God allow us to choose to disobey and dishonor our parents? Again, the answer is yes. He loves us so much that he allows his creation to go against him. He does not force us to love or do his will. Think about that. You are not forced to do it. He also doesn't force us to obey. And this is where his people come in. Christ's followers are called to speak the truth in love. That's what we are called to do. I believe this means that we must tell and sometimes warn people what the truth is. But I do want to caution you. Because too much in our society today, in the United States of America at least, from what I can see. And you know, some of you know me, some of you don't know me. Over the last, 8-10 years, I have on purpose gotten into the lives of unbelievers on purpose so I know where they're coming from, so I can understand them. Now, I was an unbeliever at one point, but that was a long time ago. And things have changed. Okay? But the more I see it, things, the more they change, the more they stay the same. Because there's a lot of what these unbelievers will bring up that I used to bring up. However, with that being said, if you are a believer in Christ, we have gotten to a point where we are believing something so much, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but we are focusing in on us as a collective faith too much. What do I mean by that? You have got to understand that God loves you so much that He wants to work in and through you as an individual. Think that through with me. Because we are a part of what? The body of Christ. Okay? God has given you specific gifts and talents that He wants you to use in His kingdom for His glory. He has given you specific gifts and talents. However, too many times I think we focus in on, well, you know, I'll give to the church. I'm going to give, and I'll get my 10%, 20%, and I'm going to do that, and then the church can go help that person on the side of the street at McDonald's and fix their car for them, and I'll go live my life. No. We are being prompted by the Holy Spirit. Let's stop just going, yep, the church as a whole can take care of this. No. I'm there. I don't really know how to fix a car, but I know people that know how to fix a car. I know mechanics. I know people who are mechanics that are Christians. I know these people. They'd probably do it for free. And if not, okay, maybe God's calling me to pay for that repair. Maybe God's calling you to pay for that repair. Not out of your 10, 20%, whatever you give to the church. Friends, God wants to work in and through you as an individual. I am not saying the collective faith is bad. That's not what I'm saying. Do not hear what I am not saying. We are the church, right? That's supposed to happen. However, we get caught up too much in that and stop working on our relationship with God as an individual. So we must love. Should these people that we talk to choose not to follow Jesus Christ? Well, again, that's on their head, right? That's on them. We cannot force people to follow God. Raise your hand if you love it when somebody says, you absolutely have to go do that thing over there. Anybody like that? Now, I'm going to put a little honey with it. Hey, you know that car over there needs to be moved. Would you mind doing that for me? That's more palatable, right? It is, because I'm asking you. Now, when that person says, no, I just don't have the time, don't go, what do you mean? What happened? Somebody said, what? Don't then throw a temper tantrum. Because we do that. Well, you should go do that. It's good. Okay. They said no. Let them do that. It is their free will to choose. Are you willing to love as much as God loves them? Are you willing to do that? Again, we are called to love. In other words, we need to tell people the truth and leave it up to them to believe or not. If they choose not to believe, the Lord will deal with them, be it ever so severely. This goes for our own Christian brothers and sisters as well. You can tell people the truth about helping the poor, poverty stricken, but once you force them to help them, you have stepped over the line. You've stepped over the line. A great example of this is the account of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. I'd love for you to open your Bibles if you want to. You don't need to, but Acts 5, maybe write that in your notes. You can go look at it a little later. Now, they sold a piece of property and said they gave all of the money of the sale to the church. For those of you who are not familiar with this, the early church had come together and said, we're going to share stuff. We're going to help the poor, the orphan, the widow. We're going to do that. And unfortunately, I believe, in today's church, we have bought into some things with this story that are not in the story. And we believe they're there, but they're not. So they sold this piece of property. A quick check on the context of this passage shows us that the believers, they were a part of the way. All right? And they wanted, again, to sell their possessions, give them to each other. Now you'll notice they were not forced to do this. Okay? They were not. They were not required to give everything to the group. Some people say, now how do you know that, Jason? Well, let's check it out. Acts 5, 3 through 4 says, Ananias, Peter said this, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. A little more background for you. Ananias and his wife Sapphira owned a field, sold it. They told the church that they gave them all the money from the sale, and when they actually kept part of the sale for themselves. So their sin, this is so important. Their sin wasn't that they kept part of the money. In fact, Peter doesn't mention it, does he? Peter does not mention that. What does he mention that is the sin? When God revealed this to me, I was like, whoa. Oh my goodness. For years, I have always thought, I was thinking to myself in my chair early in the morning, I've always thought that I was like, ownership shouldn't happen. That's not what they were teaching, though. It's not. Listen to this. What was the sin? Peter mentions this, that they lied to the Holy Spirit. That's the sin. Lying tongue. I think it's so easy to deduce that part of their sin was their desire to receive praise and glory they didn't receive. That's really what's going on here. They were kind of replacing themselves and saying, yeah, look at how important we are. Now, if they'd given all the money, I think they would have received a blessing. If they had only given part of the money and had been honest and actually told the truth, I think they still would have been fine. The point is that God is the judge. God is the judge, not humans. Their consequences for lying? Whew. Pretty harsh. Instant death. Wow. This helps us to see that the choices we make have consequences, good and bad. We can either choose to live God's way or not. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel free, but at the same time, it makes me realize God's giving me that much responsibility. Whew. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible tells us that. Okay. You can also say respecting God is the beginning of wisdom. When I talk to people who aren't believers, or even some that are believers, and they say, so you're afraid of God? Well, this God could literally go, and take me out right now. He could do it right now. So that kind of being, yeah, I definitely give him honest, a huge, huge respect. And am I fearful somewhat? Yep. And that's not because he's so mean and evil and disgusting. He's totally loving. But he's also holy and just and right. Got to be honest, a lot of things I'm not. I'm guessing a lot of things you're not, too. But God has a plan for each one of us. Again, our choices affect more than just us. They affect others as well. And sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad. But forcing people to follow God's ways is not freedom at all. It is not. We've got to start understanding this. God has made you in His image, and He loves you. He loves you. Again, my family and I have been on a journey that I honestly, when I started this, I sat down and talked to somebody and they go, oh, you don't want to do this. And it's somebody who's very successful businessman financially. And I was like, why? What do you mean? And he goes, this is going to be way too hard. Are you sure you want to do this? And, you know, of course, at the time, I'm like, whatever. What? Yeah, no big deal. Well, he gave me some good advice, and for some of you out there, this is for you. He told me not to do it because he said, you're the kind of person who's never happy with just doing the status quo. You got to find the next thing to do. That might be you. I bring that up because he was right. For me, it never ends. There's always new ground to take. New areas to go in. Believe me, talk to my wife, she's nuts. She's nuts because she's married to me. She's got to deal with this crazy life. And I think it's mostly us guys. Our wives help make us stable, don't they? They absolutely do. I want you to open up to Corinthians, and it is 2 Corinthians. We'll wrap up here. And I really encourage you to come back tonight. I'm going to be talking tonight about the importance of asking questions without having an agenda and how to ask good questions. And then two of my friends who are part of the ministry, Steve Reisner, who's actually a chiropractor out of Findlay, and Bill Sang, who he's pretty much, not pretty much, he's an expert when it comes to dealing with creation issues, the beginning of the Bible. He's going to be talking about 10 irrefutable proofs of creation. He's written, I believe, 3 books now. Steve Reisner is going to be talking about understanding the biblical worldview against the secular humanistic worldview, digging into that more. I wish I would have time to go into that more here, but I'm sure some of you want to go to lunch. So Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, and we're going to look at, let's start in verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. We struggle with this text, meaning we believers. Are you a new creation in Christ, yes or no? Raise your hand if you are. Okay? Yes? Okay, you can put it down. Now, for the real biggie, do you still sin, yes or no? Raise your hand. He's on it. Okay, here's the struggle with that text, because it says, okay, new creation in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. What does that mean? Well, in the Greek that this was written in, it means it's happening now, and it happened at one point. Okay? Meaning, the old is gone. Okay, dear Jesus, I'm sorry. I confess my sins. Come into my heart. I'm a new creation right now. Right now, this very moment, I'm a new creation in Christ. But, and this is where we humans got to start going, okay, God, I need you to explain it to me more, but I trust you so much that I'm just going to obey. The old is gone. The new has come. But yet, that old man, that old woman, rears up its ugly head sometimes. And it comes down to a heart issue. When you sin, now you need to go, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? And then you need to repent. Repent means to turn and go the other way. Okay? You're going the wrong way. Repent. Now I'm going to go God's way. I'm going to go God's way. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Not the fleshly ways. Sexual immorality. Jealousy. Theft. There's tons I could say. You fill in the blank. You see, those ways are not God's ways. Do not buy into this lie. Well, I was just born that way, and so I can't be fixed. Okay, hold on there, sir. Were you born that way? You were born into sin. I'm born into sin. I'm a sinner. I admit it. But the old is gone. The sinner is gone. The new has come. Now I am a creation in Christ because of Him. Not because of my good works. Not because of what I'm doing. I'm listening. And I'm not saying it's, you know, left, right. That's not what we're talking about. It's walk out of McDonald's, go, oh, hey, there's some people that need some help. I'm here to serve. Just so you know, I never once told them about Jesus. But Ian did. The guy who fixed their car did. That pretty awesome or what? I mean, it was like WrestleMania all over again. Tag. I think I got the gut to go with it. All righty. Friends, I want to encourage you to come back tonight. Again, it's not just me here. And these two guys I'm bringing in, they have studied their stuff so much, and they know what they're talking about. I mean, it's pretty like, wow. And that's why I'm not going to talk much tonight, because I'm going to let them teach you. Come find us at worldviewwarriors.org. I encourage you to come back to the table. I got my book back there and some information. Love to talk to you after. And let's just pray. And we'll get out of here. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for just a beautiful day. Looks like the sun is out shining. I thank you so much for spring. New life. It's awesome. Pray, God, that you would help each person in here to understand that they are made in your image and you love them. That you want to work in and through them. Help each person to understand that their personal, individual relationship with you matters. They've got to keep working on that, not just on this collective faith of the church, which is important. But that if they're not right with you, help them understand it really doesn't matter how much they put in the plate. I would encourage you, encourage everybody who's here, God, to understand they need to hear your voice and obey. God, I thank you for saving me and for each person in here that's come to you. Help us truly to be your children. And I pray that you would just be glorified and honored through each one of us. Your baby boys and your baby girls. It's in the mighty name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Tonight, we are going to have a Q&A time. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to walk down the middle here. And I've got just sheets that just says questions on it. What we're going to do for the Q&A is if we get a lot of questions that are kind of the same, we're open to just kind of pair those up. And so we can just deal with them instead of just getting stuff from the audience because, well, sometimes you just never know what you're going to get from the audience. But really what it comes down to is if there's like three of the same kind of thing going on, then we can get to that better. So I'm just going to take these and pass them around. And if you wouldn't mind filling them out. And then in the back, there's a basket there. If you could just take it back, put it in the basket. Or you can put it in one of these two, I guess, as you leave. So I'll just do that. And thanks again for having me. And we'll see you tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, that's a great question. Questions about what? Not my shoe size, yeah. Questions regarding I would say your faith. It could even be things of why do Christians say, I'm just going there. Why do Christians say homosexuality is wrong? Friends, let's just get real. It's a huge deal in our society. Why do Christians say having sex outside of marriage is wrong? Friends, our people don't know. And it's not, some of them are searching, and when they find the answer, they don't like it. I'm just being honest. But we need to speak in love, still giving truth. Because if we get the love part wrong, what's the point? Truly, God is love. So those kind of questions, it could even be deeper things. I mean, that you're like, I don't understand the Trinity. It could be stuff like that. Okay, or, you know, I don't know. I'm sure you've got something going on in your head right now. So, all right. Hey, I'm not going to tell you how old I am either, so don't ask that. All right.